Poetry is motion. Poetry is emotion. Poetry is he-motion. Poetry is her-motion. Poetry is hurt-motion. Poetry is heart-motion. Poetry as a notion. Poetry was an ocean. Poetry is come motion.
Hello, everybody. I'm Stephen Pitters, and welcome to the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Folks, you know who you are. You know who I am. So you know it is time for you to reset and enjoy some poetry, prose, and at times some music here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. This is Thin Air Community Radio, and we are on the stream at www.kyrs.org. Where the young, the old, and the in-between gather to share their thoughts, feelings, and emotions. My special guest today is the noted poet, Katie Shedlock. Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. As you know, the mission of the Spokane Open Poetry Program is to make available to poets and others the opportunity to share their literary works and musical skills. But Katie, it is time for the thank you minute. So is there anyone out there that you'd like to give a shout out to?
I'd like to thank the Spokane Poetry Slam community for being so welcoming and supporting of me over the last couple months.
All right. And one of the things that I would also like to do is to give a shout out to good friends near and far, a few that I have, my good buddy down in St. Louis, Mike and Dee, and as well as my good friend in New York City, Ellen. All right, that having been said, I am going to, before I go there, I'm going to ask you to listen to the following piece of information. When you go to the KYRS webpage, you will find many interesting pieces of information, and one of those is you'll see the front end of a red car, and it'll say donate your car, truck, or boat, and it is easy. All you have to do is give us a call at 855-597-7227 to arrange a free pickup, and you get a tax receipt. So again, all you have to do is give us a call at 855-597-7227 to arrange that free pickup. That having been said, we will get ready to get started. But before we do that, I will read a poem, and then I will turn this show over to my special guest. This particular piece is called The Spark That Matters. I have recorded my minuscule thoughts, calculated, premeditated reflections, and applied noxious deliberation, scissoring the long, lean grass to its ankle with the jaws of a sickle. The seeds were left to suck for more water, to dive deeper, to peel off its shell, wiggle the roots of its toes, and pray the sun would come racing across the face of the earth. Enshrined with fortified, energized particles, all such caring provides a return to a quantum of solace. Hope is the transcending anguish we search and labor to understand. Need not deflect, but have mountains of origins to accept. My aspect is I am sent to mainly transgress, then egress, shielded by her glossy sublime contours and merciful unedited features that made light of my apologetic markdown with a sheepish truancy spoken an afterthought to accompany nightfall. Did I get the right person? I hope so, I said, closing my eyes upon her slow, lazy smile on the down pillow's left side. A deep sigh fashioned itself and drifted out. We proceeded to snuggle more closely, two doves spooning up against the headboard in the king-size bed. If you are just tuning in, this is the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Now it's time for you to sit back and listen to the poetry of Katie Shedlock. Katie, it is now your show.
Thanks. This first poem is called God's Pronouns. Dear Lord, I prayed, I realize I probably should have asked this years ago. Forgive me, I've only recently learned it's something I need to ask and not assume. But God, what are your pronoun preferences? I have a few ideas, I continued, because obviously the old-fashioned capital he is just completely wrong for you. It just reeks of male privilege, and I know you're not really cisgender, because the one time you were born, you presented as male, but you had no Y chromosome, so he is out, but she is just shocking. I mean, I know there's some scriptural precedent, Lady Wisdom, Proverbs 8. Some might say, don't confuse the identity of God with a literary device. Personification can never be taken literally. Except then what do we do with the incarnation when the Word became a person? I know, Lord, I've got it. The perfect pronoun for you, the singular they. All-encompassing and yet strictly monotheistic? What do you think? We'll call all the scholars, print some new Bible translations, redo the rhyme schemes on all our old hymns. Gender-neutral language goes to the next level. Thanks so much, Lord. I appreciate the chat. Got some paradigms to shift, so amen for now. We'll catch up soon. Stop, said the Lord. Oh, crap, I thought. Maybe God prefers the damn capital he after all. Stop. You're still assuming. You asked, but you didn't wait for my answer. This is why people say they prayed about it and come up with the same stupid stuff they were doing before. Stop. You want to know what pronouns I prefer? Well, I hedged, hoping it was anything but the capital he. Stop. Stop hoping. Hear me instead. Are you ready for this? The pronouns I prefer are, I am who I am. Full capitals, please. I am who I am. Disarmed, I looked down at my feet to find my shoes had disappeared so that my soles could touch the holy ground of self-revelation, which is always more beautiful, more powerful than anything we could merely assume.
Ooh, that we could merely assume. Interesting. Now, what sparked this particular piece?
I'm a United Methodist pastor, and one of the things I do is I put together worship on Sunday mornings, and there's been a conversation in my denomination for a number of years about the language we use for God. Mm-hmm. And if you pick up an old hymnal, you'll see that, it's capital he is, mm-hmm, God's pronoun, right, like every single time.
And that is true.
So there's been some efforts in recent years to try to open that up a little bit and to say, well, you know, there's other pronouns that, mm-hmm, we could ascribe to God. And I've also just been blessed to have people in my life who have told me, hey, you know, you assumed my pronouns were this, and it's actually something else.
You can think outside the box.
So, right. Yeah. So that poem was really just me personally trying to think through scripture and think through, is there somewhere where God says, you know, this is who I am, this is how I want you to refer to me? And I love that God answers in pronouns. That's from Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am.
Yes, so. I remember that. Okay, it does have a philosophical bent to it.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you are a pastor. How did you get into being a pastor? Or why did you choose to be a pastor?
Yeah.
Get into being. Where am I going?
I was raised in the church, so church has always been a part of my life. But when I was in my mid-20s, I was living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I know Pittsburgh.
All right.
Yeah. I like Pittsburgh. Went to school in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. Yeah. I loved Pittsburgh. It was a great city. Yeah. And there was a church there that was a very very creative community. A lot of artists and people who used drama and poetry and visual arts in worship. And that just really broadened my understanding of what church could be, and really showed me that, hey, being a creative person and being a part of a faith tradition, that those two things can go hand in hand in a beautiful way.
Speaking of, you know, the being a pastor and the like, and Pittsburgh, the Cathedral of Learning.
Oh yeah,
in Oakland.
There you go. Yeah.
I said, okay, I can make a fit right there.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, yeah, those were fun years. Those were fun years. I really enjoyed Pittsburgh a lot. And matter of fact, it was those days when the Pittsburgh Steelers were at the top of the heap.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, Terry Bradshaw and the Iron Curtain and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Terrible towel.
Yes. Okay, so let me ask you one more question before release you to entertain us with more of your poetry. Have you, in the times you've been writing, published any works?
No.
As yet.
Yeah. I hesitated for a minute just because part of my work as a pastor is that every week there's a liturgy to put on, and liturgy is poetry, and so I definitely have that aspect, but in terms of like a book or something, no.
Well,
so.
You're in the right town. They're always looking for the new interesting, you know, piece of poetry or prose or whatever. But that having been said, you are up for another poem.
All right. Give real change, proclaim the orange meters. I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Mayor, that nobody was ever changed by feeding a machine. I know because I feed them all the time. Slipping quarters and dimes into the small slit mouths, hearing them digest the coins as they travel down the internal intestinal tract, I feed the Coke machine, the snack machine, and in return they give me the junk that I want. I eat the prepackaged crap they spit back out, regurgitated for the ease of my consumption. I eat, and I am always unfulfilled, dissatisfied by the sweet sugar, empty calorie solutions. I feed the machine and I stay hungry. Mr. Mayor, I know it is more comfortable, more pleasant, a better customer experience to interact with the meter. On their bright orange heads are no questionable tattoos, no messy hair, they won't talk back, and there's no concerns about mental illness or illegal drug use. You don't have to look them in the eyes because they don't have any. They will always look cheerful and grateful as they dispense easy, sweet solutions packaged for ease of consumption by the consciences of nice middle-class Christians who get the junk they want, a sugary rush to soothe their spiritual anxiety, when deep down we still know that real change is the result of real discomfort. We feed the machine and we are still hungry. Because we will not be fulfilled, we will not be satisfied, we will not be whole, we will always have empty sacks of acid inside us, gnawing away at our peace until we learn to feed each other. Link arms like newlyweds, my fork in your mouth, eyes closed in trust and delight. Giver and receiver are obsolete categories in this holy communion. There is only the really changed.
Ooh, the really changed. Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm Stephen Pitters, your host. With me in the studio today is the poet Katie Shedlock. And If you would like to be a guest, all you need to do is call 509-747-3807 and leave your name and number, or go online at www.kyrs.org and send me an email, and I'll get back in touch with you, and you too can be a guest here on the show. Okay, those things haven't been said. Before we came on, Katie, we were talking a little bit about your travels, and you surprised me that you had been all over the place. Tell us a little bit about some of those places.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Spokane, and then I left, so I was on the East Coast for a while. And then I was in the Peace Corps in Kazakhstan, in Central Asia. That's where I started teaching. And I taught English, and I really enjoyed that. And then I came back and continued to kind of work in language arts education. And I was a high school English teacher for a while. I taught for a little bit at an Orthodox Jewish girls' school. So that was a really interesting environment to be in a religious setting that was not my own, and to teach literature and writing. And I loved teaching poetry. That was my favorite thing to teach.
So you have made a few steps beyond the borders of Spokane, because
we're
talking about it as well as like folks leave Spokane and then they come back and
right.
It's like
we boomerang.
So, yeah. So it's like, whoa, yo, why is it? You can't just leave and don't come back. But no, that's like, nah, you got to come back to Spokane. It's funny that I find myself when I travel. I have this feeling like, gosh, I want to go back home to Spokane. I guess it's because the traffic is not the same and as other places. You can still park downtown.
Right.
You can't park downtown in Manhattan. Let's face it.
Right.
There's no parking downtown and stuff like that. But in Spokane, and it's only a quarter some places,
right.
Or nickel or a dime. You know, so it's kind of a neat
yep.
place. But more poetry from you.
This one is called, actually, I won't tell you what it's called.
Okay. You let us guess.
Yeah.
Wait for the refrain.
Right. In all the Christmas pageants of my childhood, I was never cast as Mary. I was too tall, they said, when what they really meant was that I had terrible acne and wore glasses, that I asked too many questions, that I was interested far too much in boys, far too little in babies. No, Mary was a role reserved for girls with perfect hair, perfect grades, and perfect sweetness. Girls who are perfectly boring. Girls who can pull off both motherhood and virginity at the same time. But maybe we have been casting the part of Mary all wrong. After all, she is not silent. She not only speaks, she slams. How come that always seems to get cut from the Christmas pageants? We skip the scenes where she shows up at her cousin's house, pregnant and alone, without her boyfriend, who says it's not his. We avert her eyes, but she will not be ignored. We skip the moment where she walks up to the mic, a teenager starting to show. She makes us nervous. She might say anything. She speaks. In magnificent poetry, the verses fly by, more of them than for any other woman in the entire New Testament. Did you know that dictators have banned the public reading of the Magnificat because they are so afraid of a poem spoken by a poor, knocked-up teenage girl in which she dares to say that she has power, that she has worth, that she is more valuable than everybody who devalues her, that she has downfall for kings and salvation for the hungry growing in her belly? We have made her so tragically boring. We have made the virgin sterile. I never wanted to play Mary anyway. At least the sheep got lines. But when I find myself in times of trouble, she still comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Don't let it be. Look at me, the overlooked kid. My belly swells, and I am making God bigger. Look at me, the ruined girl. I am the most blessed woman of all time. This is not mere hyperbole. It is the juxtaposition that changes everything. And even though I'm not Catholic, I say the prayer, Hail Mary, full of grace and poetry.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I remember. I was an altar boy, and I knew it in Latin.
So oh,
when
wow.
You said the Magnificat, I said, oh, it's been a long time since I've heard that the title, the Magnificat. Again, that's when we did things in Latin. Now we're doing everything in English, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
But I like the Latin, that mysticism quality.
Sure,
You learned a different language.
Right, yeah. Help on those SAT words.
Exactly. The Magnificat. Gosh, you're bringing back some parts of it. So now you're back in town, and where's your congregation?
Yeah, so I'm attached to Audubon Park United Methodist Church, so often on Sunday morning you'll find me there. But I'm one of three pastors on staff there, and my job is actually to start a new congregation, which is just in its early days of getting going. We're calling ourselves The Studio.
The Studio.
We have a Facebook page, The Studio Spokane. Mm-hmm. We've been doing a lot with trying to both reconnect folks to some of the older practices of the church, and also sort of crack those open and find meaning in new ways, new traditions. We play a lot with language. We have a lot of poetry in our liturgies, finding new metaphors, new ways, new pronouns for God, all that
pronouns.
Good stuff.
They'll get you all it every time.
They will, yeah.
Okay, another piece, please. You have about 4 or 5 minutes.
All right.
I mean, we're talking about that. It goes very quickly.
It does, yeah. All right. I guess I'll end on a piece called Genesis. The deists thought God was a watchmaker. Wound up the universe and set us on our way, tick-tock counting millennia. What would they have done with digital? Would they have seen the Creator in the way the bright green numbers never lose time? We want a God who's regular, dependable, and above all, fair, as even-handed as seconds pulsing through the crystal. But God is actually a poet, and one who rarely writes anything down at that, because in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and what they later called darkness and void, waste, schmaste, we know was just the regular chaos of the creative process. Face to face with the deep, God speaks, and light happens. But illumination is just the beginning of God's spoken word poetry. Next comes augmentation and separation of water from the sky, then solidification, dry land appears, vegetation, habitation, by creatures of all kinds doing all kinds of fruitful multiplication, and then the grand finale of them all, coagulation, word becomes flesh. The theologians call it creation ex nihilo, making something out of nothing. I call it poetry. Words that make the world good. Words that make the planet livable. Words that keep us from disappearing into the void. God will always lose time, always be too late for our urgent needs. God will never be fair or regular or even-handed. The theologians call that sovereignty. But I believe the one who spoke you and me into existence will always love our poetry. Word becomes flesh. We speak and we keep creation spinning.
We speak and we teach and we keep creation spinning. Ooh. How did that line make its way into your consciousness? I mean, did it just jump out, or you know, as the storyline was unfolding?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of thinking about the idea of how is it that poetry keeps me sane, keeps me living, keeps life good, keeps the world turning, so to speak. And yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Now, this is a question I ask many of the talents that come on the show. When you write a piece, or say you're writing your pieces, is it something that happens at a particular time of day or evening or afternoon? You know, or do you have to go to wherever you go to write? How does it happen for you?
Yeah. Most of my poetry is inspired by scripture reading. So I'll get an idea or a line or something from my morning devotional or something like that, stuck in my craw. And then when I have some time, could be early in the day or later in the day, where I can really sit down and think about it and reflect on it, that's usually when a poem might happen as a result.
Do you ever find that whether or not it seems to take on a life of its own, or how does it come about for you?
Yeah. I feel like often I'll sit and I'll kind of write an initial exploration of the idea, and then I'll kind of take a look at it, and maybe there might be one or two points in that I feel like I can expand further. And then I usually end up ditching the initial thing and taking that that one idea that might have some depth to it, I guess. So,
you know, I said I'm always interested, because with me, you know, I find like maybe 3 or 4 in the morning, I come out of my sleep and my mind is racing and I'm thinking about something and it keeps going and going, and then I have to get up out of bed and run to the computer room and start putting it down. Sometimes I've gotten up, in the dark, find a pencil and write down something in a piece, because I figure I can write words, you know, with my eyes closed and still form the letters. But then when you look at it, it's like, whoa, this is going off.
Right.
What was I trying to say? Like, so I'm always interested in how people write their work.
Yeah.
And the storylines that they pursue. But I find that a lot of times with me, it gets going. You keep feeling it, and then it goes off almost in its own, or your mind just makes the next connection to the next word, or, you know, maybe the rhythm or the rhyme, and it's just kind of, it's gone all over the place. But you try to keep a picture of what is the vision that I'm having, or the storyline that I'm working with. But anyway, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, Katie, and I hope that we will have another round of discussion sometime in the near future. And that having been said, we shall close with words of wisdom from our poets for today.
Should I read another poem?
If you can do it in a minute.
Okay. I guess I'll just say my teacher's words of wisdom, which is something I would always tell my students, is just keep writing, keep writing, keep writing, keep
every
writing.
Yeah. Okay. So for Katie Shedlock, I'm Stephen Pitters, your host for this edition of the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And we are out of here.